Good afternoon. Happy Sabbath. And it's a beautiful one, even if the weather isn't exactly the way we'd like to have it. Welcome to all visitors. A big welcome to the Ost family. Welcome back to the tropical heat wave. Brethren, today we live in a society filled with music. Overrunning with music, all day, every day, all the time. All different kinds, you name it. Whatever the flavor or the taste, classical to bluegrass, religious music of all kinds and all flavors, from Strauss to Wagner, you name it, we've got it right here. Music in these United States is big, big business. So much so that it is a billion-dollar industry and a very significant part of this economy. This, the experts say, began in the 1940s through the 70s to the current time today when teens and some preteens began to benefit from a vastly increased spending power. These experts also say it is the popularity of music is controlled by the same segment of society, preteens, teenagers, and up into the early 20s. Never before in history has this age group wielded so much spending power. This is, of course, reflected in the type of music popularized. This illustrates, at least somewhat, the profound effect that music has, both good and bad, in our society. Music also has a very important function among God's people, much more so than we realize, and it's this aspect of music that we will explore today. The title for today is The Blessing of the Song Service. Humans are designed by God to enjoy and benefit from good music for a very good reason. God can and does use all of the human senses to communicate to us, and this includes the sense of hearing. Music and song seem to have a special channel into the human spirit and the human mind. This can, to some degree, affect a change in the mind, the mood, and even affect attitude and behavior, both good and bad. The everyday proof of this is how Satan, the devil, has twisted and perverted modern music and uses it as a tool against humanity, for the most part, unwittingly, without their knowledge. One thing is certain, if it was not an effective tool, he wouldn't bother using it. But he has, and with a great deal of success. One of his biggest successes is the season just passed that we have just come out of, and the all-too-familiar music associated with it. It's amazing to me that some of the most beautiful music written during this season is to propagate lies and deception on an enormous scale. Like a siren's wail, this music pulls people further and further from truth and further from their God. This season, and the music that comes with it, something God's people must struggle through every year. It is no small thing that music and song can so profoundly affect the human spirit. It is for this reason that music is a vital part of worship of the true God, and always has been. God purposely designed humans to benefit a great deal from music and song. His purposes in this regard go far beyond temporary human entertainment. If you would please turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Through music and song, one can get to know the true God and become closer to him, beginning here in verse 1, 100 verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Now follow here what happens in verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. It's He who made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless Him. Bless His name, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Inspired music during worship is a fit manner to come into the presence of the true God. It has the capability of reminding one what he or she really is, changing our attitudes and how much we need God in our everyday life. It is through right music and song that the human spirit can be strengthened and uplifted. One good example of this is King Saul, who had the benefit of good inspired music. It had the effect of strengthening him even when he was troubled by evil spirits. This is found in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 23. I can recall the Feast of Trumpets a few years ago. My wife and I were undergoing a severe trial with our son. He was in the state of Texas, going through some things that we have difficulty talking about today. The Feast of Trumpets, the holy day rolled around, and we did our best to put a smile on our faces and go to services, even though our hearts were very low. But seated behind us during services were five young girls. Two of these were daughters of the local elder. The other three were visitors. Services began, and I'm here to tell you, these five girls sang their hearts out. I have never before or since heard anything like that. I went away a completely different man. I went away with the knowledge that God is in power, God is on His throne, God would take care of these problems. And all of this is brought about through the singing of the song of five young girls, praising God with all their heart. God commands us in different places to come before Him with singing and praise. It's interesting to me that God seems to require a certain skill level with instruments. Play skillfully upon the strings, He says. The horn, the harp, the lyre, all these different things, but no special skill set is mentioned that I know of for singing. I can't explain that. Unless He knew even then that one day I would walk through the door. We are commanded, after all, it says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Well, in my case, of course, the operative term is noise. This doesn't seem to matter to God, and it shouldn't matter to God's people. What is important is that we come to Him in His presence, in the manner prescribed by Him, in the attitude prescribed by Him, and this includes praising Him in music and song. This year, the Feast of Tabernacles, my wife and I at Jekyll Island, were privileged, if you can believe this, to sit directly in front of an older gentleman who could not sing. As the saying goes, he couldn't carry a tune in a dump truck. But that didn't stop him. And we didn't mind. We didn't care. We just looked at each other and smiled. As a matter of fact, his presence there and the fact that he couldn't sing and he sang with gusto was all the more inspiring. I can recall my first contact with the Church of God, listening to these hymns that we're provided with and thinking, what strange music. Never heard this before. As time went on, I began to discover that the music and the lyrics came directly out of God's Word, oftentimes right out of the Psalms. Time went further on. I learned a richness and depth and beauty in music that I never experienced before. And it's all right there in our hymnal. We all have low and desperate times in our lives. You can't live through this world and not have them. If you don't have them, I'd like to know your name. But in my case, all I need to do is to open this hymnal and just read the lyrics. For me, the effect is immediate and uplifting. I can recommend this to anyone. If you would please turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll find this concept well supported. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19. We find Paul speaking here, and he says, "But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." You don't even have to open your mouth. You just let these hymns roll through your head, if you wish. "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul refers to this activity as a valid spiritual sacrifice, the fruit of the lips, he calls it. You'll find this in Hebrews 13, verse 15. There have been times when praise to God in song has been connected with and associated with the miraculous. If you would please turn to Acts chapter 16. Acts 16. Here we find Paul and Silas in prison, beginning in verse 25. "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened. Everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing the prisoners had escaped." And that was the Roman punishment in those days, if you let prisoners escape. "But Paul cried with a loud voice, 'Do not harm yourself, for we are all here.' And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, trembling with fear. He fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" Here we find two separate miracles associated with, connected with, one praising God in songs and hymns. The first one is the apostles were freed along with all the other prisoners. Their bonds were burst. Second, the conversion of the jailer and his whole household, it says. There's another aspect to the miraculous effect of musical praise to God we might not have thought about. It's written that God gives restful sleep to his beloved. This is in Psalm 127 and verse 2. Physical sleep has many restoring properties. The body rebuilds itself, the blood chemistry tries to right itself, so do the enzymes and the hormones. Cells take this opportunity to rebuild and restore. But restful sleep has another function. It will reduce pain and alleviate mental anguish. If we're going through a trial, we have a tough decision. What do we say? Sleep on it. Be different in the morning. Often it is. Inspired music and song toward God have the same effect. That is, if we allow it to work. It will help repair and strengthen the human spirit. In closing, there are some things we should keep in mind about the blessing of the song service and musical praise to God in general. Like many other things in our lives, this is a great, wonderful gift and blessing from God to us. We should regard it that way, not merely as a step we go through every Sabbath day to go through services. This is a unique opportunity to address the true God, and he hears it. Singing praise and thanksgiving to God has an effect. It has power. It has often been said in the church that lies are spoken, and one can sing a lie just as easily as one can speak a lie. This is true. Lies and deception have their power, but so does truth when it is spoken or sung. Inspired music can change our attitudes if we let it, and our entire approach to things. It helps to get our mind off the physical, where it doesn't belong, and onto the spiritual, where it does belong. So as we move forward, let's remember the value of music and praise to God and what a gift it is to us, and to continue to give it rightful place in our worship toward God and in our everyday lives.